Earth and Sky.
It is important to be informed, both as a citizen and out of what I consider even more basic, as out of intellectual curiosity. We want to know more. That's what man is about.
You're listening to Kenneth Arrow, Nobel laureate in economics, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Earth Sky's Jeremy Shear talked with Dr. Arrow about the relationship between science and economic progress.
Let's talk about economics and science. What role does scientific knowledge play in economic progress?
The rate of economic progress went through a tremendous acceleration, at least in the European world, European, in which I include the United States and the British Dominions, beginning around 1750. And this is clearly the result of the introduction of new technologies and ultimately on the science on which those technologies were based. Throughout the 16th and especially 17th and 18th centuries, there was considerable scientific innovation. Electricity was explored, for example, mechanics, how bodies drop and how they could roll down inclined planes and how they fit together, were studied quite a bit. This led to a great deal of interest in scientific matters, and not only the content of science, but also the spirit, the idea of experimentation, for example. And the result is in the 18th century, it began to have a lot of applications to economic activity. One of the earliest, for example, was the steam engine, which originally devised for the purpose of extracting coal, but then was applied much more fundamentally to motive power, running factories and later transportation. And as the 19th century wore on, the role of science in developing technology in turn developed economic progress, created economic progress. So we more or less expect in an advanced economy that each year the same amount of effort can produce 2% more goods, roughly speaking. A lot of measurement problems here, and I won't go into them now, but that's, so, you know, 2% may not sound much, but over anybody who knows about compound interest realize it doesn't take a terribly long period of time for this to amount to a revolution, and we see this all around us. The standards of living that the average American or European or Japanese enjoys today is utterly fantastic by the standards of previous generations.
Is another way to put what you're describing that there's a very symbiotic nature, symbiotic relationship between science and economic progress, that the one drives the other and vice versa. And I would think of the Industrial Revolution as one primary example.
Yes, well, this is emphasizing the role of science in promoting economic progress. You're quite right that there's also been reciprocal influence. More progress means, for example, better instrumentation. And better instrumentation means better science. There are all sorts of things done today in almost every field, which depend on the fact that technology has increased, and this permits greater fundamental research. Telescopes today depend upon what I call coupled charge technologies, greatly increase their power, and these are the result of development of transistors, development of integrated circuits, and used in a proper way, of course. The computer, of course, is another thing that's been revolutionizing science. Since science depends on calculations, this has enormously increased the power.
Are there ways in which economic systems, as they've developed over the past decades or even centuries, are there ways in which economic systems have impeded science or had a negative impact on science?
I can't think of any really good examples except where politics has intervened. In the communist regime, for example, in Russia, suppressed genetics because genetics was contrary to their ideology. They also suppressed research in economics, as a matter of fact, which they would have been very helpful to them. Also for ideological reasons. The Germans, to some extent, did the same, probably overemphasizing genetics in that case rather than underestimating it. So there have been political, I mean, there is changes in the economic systems. But I think by and large, the normal capitalist system, which is dominant throughout most of the world today, has, on the whole, created the wealth which permits science. Now, there is a problem. Science, especially at the basic level, doesn't directly produce profits. Science at an applied level does. Result is we need special provisions to support science. It's not supported out of the economic system in general. However, the system has created the wealth due to technological progress, which permits science. And on the whole, I think it's fair to say that science has been reasonably well supported.
Let's switch gears now for a moment, and I'd like to ask you a bit more generally about scientific knowledge and the importance of disseminating scientific knowledge amongst people. Can you tell me first just about your own personal interest in science? What about the world of scientific knowledge and theory and discovery speaks to you on a personal level?
Well, I'm very excited by new knowledge. There's no question. Learning something about our distant past, learning how we evolution has taken place, how we and the other species that exist on the Earth today came to be, the kind of processes that form them, whether it be natural selection or social adaptations or whatever, are matters, first, of great curiosity. We always want to know where we came from and how we came to be. I think these are natural things. They are very useful to us also in thinking about the future direction of the world, what we should do today to make sure the next generation has the kind of knowledge that that they can use, just as we have benefited from the knowledge accrued in the past as a result of efforts and frequently considerable expenditure of resources. So it is important to be informed, both as a citizen and out of what I consider even more basic, as out of intellectual curiosity. We want to know more. That's what man is about. And there's a cumulative nature which human beings have, in which we share only to a very mild extent with any other species.
That was Kenneth Arrow, Professor Emeritus of Economics at Stanford University and a member of Earth Sky's Global Science Advisory Council. Dr. Arrow, our thanks. You can subscribe to this and other free science podcasts by visiting the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar, and you've been listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.